You know, one of the toughest problems that we face in our world today is the feeling of condemnation. You know, you ask people how they feel about life in general, and a lot of times it's that feeling of condemnation, self-condemnation. They think about a lot of things. I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about four warning signs that something is just not right. And I may be speaking to some of you tonight here, but may in the larger perspective here, we may be talking to someone who may be listening by the way of the internet, who watch these lessons every week, and there are many of them, and we appreciate it. But there are many people who feel self-condemned for some reason or another. They may feel that they're not intelligent enough, they're just not smart enough. Or maybe they're not pretty or beautiful, or maybe they're not handsome or whatever. They may not be talented enough, and so they feel this remorse within their life and within their spirit, I don't like myself. But you know, with God's help, we can change the direction of how we feel. The Bible clearly tells us in the book of Romans 8 and verse 1, now there is therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. In Psalms 34 and 22, the Bible says, the Lord redeems the life of his servants, and no one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. You know, sometimes instead of feeling like we're one of God's children and that for that reason we ought to be happy and thankful and grateful unto God, sometimes we feel the very opposite. Someone said, what if I told you you read the first line wrong? Would you think you did or not? Anybody in here? You know, it's easy for us to read things wrong. And if you look at this, it does not say, what if I told you to read the first line, does it? It says, what I if told you, you read the first line wrong. You see that? And that's the way we do. Sometimes we read things and we think it's what it says, but in reality, it is not saying what you might think it says. Now, that's the way it is with life. And if we've been having trouble receiving healing, spiritual breakthrough, or anything in our life that we need from God, and we struggle with feelings of shame, perhaps unworthiness, it may be that you are living in what we call condemnation, and all of that needs to be resolved. We have a great and mighty God who can help us change the things in life that need to be changed, who can help us to know the difference between the things that need to be changed and the things that do not need to be changed. There are simple, definitions of condemnation. Let me give you some. Includes feelings of guilt, of shame, for no reason at all. Regret, fear, and unworthiness, usually stemming from a past mistake or a past experience. Maybe you had been called a loser one time somewhere along the way. Maybe you'd been called a loser several times. But the Bible teaches that we're not a loser. We are somebody in the eyes of God. We were made in his likeness. We were fashioned with an eternal spirit that will live on long after this physical body has deteriorates and is gone. And how thankful this evening that we have a wonderful God who forgives our sins. And I read in the book of 1 John 1 and verse 9 that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I like the terminology that the Spirit urged Isaiah to write when he said he blots out our sin and does not think of them. You know, God has a mind. You know, we always talk about how we ought to think and how we ought to feel in our hearts and and those kinds of things. But did you know, it's like we mentioned last week, that in the book of Zephaniah, God sang. It's the only time it's ever mentioned. But we know here that God does not think about our sin. We think about our sin more than God thinks about it. When we repent of our sin and we are baptized into Christ, for the remission of sins, they are gone. They have been locked away in the vault of God's grace. He does not punish us for all of our sins or deal with us harshly, according to the book of Psalms 103 and verse 10. And there's good news for all of us who might think that we are perhaps living in condemnation. You don't have to live in it, because Jesus paid the ultimate price to set us free, the blood of Jesus. And it can set you free. It is to ask yourself, am I living in condemnation? Are you? And it could be that someone around you is living in condemnation, but you don't even know it. I mean, they can act happy, they can act joyful. I mean, a lot of things, and people put on a face when they come to worship. They'll wear one. I've seen it too many, many times. But I want you to think with me tonight very quickly here. Number one of the warning signs, I think, is that you think about the past a lot. You know, if you were to go into the annals of history of the lives of all of us that are here tonight, you would find that there are some things maybe that you would like to forget. You'd like to forget about it, but you just keep dwelling on the past. What someone said to you, what someone did to you, or maybe what they didn't do that they should have done. And you dwell on that. You dwell on those bad things that people have said about you. When they called you a loser, or when they called you worthless. But we know that in God's sight, the past is the past, and the future is the future. And we're not to live in the past. We're to live in the present, all right, but in a very real way, you and I are to be focused on the future. But how do we go about stopping this thing of dwelling on the past? Well, Paul said he had to put it behind him. That means not think about it, first of all, because you become the product of your thoughts. It was Solomon who said many years ago that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. For out of the heart flow the issues of life. And so Paul says, well, you know, if I want to overcome living in the past, I have to start thinking about where I am right now and also to think about the future. And that is, forgetting the past, I'm moving on to greater things. And I think that's what everybody has to learn to do in life. Paul even summed it up by saying in Philippians 3 and verse 13, one thing. You know, we focus on so many things in life, do we not? But notice, Paul says, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me and reaching forward to what lies ahead. And that's the way we ought to live, isn't it? You and I should live in the future, not in the past. Sometimes we'd like to take an eraser and just go through our brain and erase all the bad things that ever happened to us in life and get rid of it, and that's the way to dwell on it. Well, Paul says, no, the way to deal with it, just forget it. Put it behind you and then start thinking about the future and start thinking about ways that you're going to amend your life to be more like our God. For in the book of Romans 6 and verse 14, Paul said, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you are under grace. Don't let sin control your life. And I'm going to tell you, I believe it is a sin for us to live in the past. Someone asked me that one time. They said, you think it's a sin for me to think about the past? It's not a sin to think about it. It is a sin to dwell on it. And when we dwell upon it and we think about it continually and we're not focused on where we're going, God's more interested in where you're going than where you have been. The past is the past. Think about it. do sins and mistakes from 10, 20, 30 years ago still plague you? I think sometimes they do. I had a man respond in a gospel meeting one time I was conducting, and he said, "You know, I've come forward tonight to ask God to forgive me of the thoughts and the sins of my heart for the last 30 years. I thought, my goodness, I couldn't believe this man had been carrying that weight of guilt and the past in his life for that long. Or maybe you keep reliving a negative life experience that left you hurt and over and over and over again. Just get your mind off of it." You know, that's what my mom used to tell me sometimes when I was a kid. She'd say, "Well, son, just get your mind off of it." And I didn't know exactly how to do that. But then she explained to me, you know, with God's help, you don't have to think on that. Just get rid of it. That's the past. Don't dwell on it. Think on things that are holy and things that are pure and things that are lovely. And perhaps you've even found yourself saying, on repeat, "I wish I would have." Now, when you hear people say that, you know they're living in the past, don't they? "I wish I had done this. I wish I had done that." You know what? We need to get rid of that mentality and start saying, "I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this." That's future, and that's thinking on the right things. We need to take our thoughts into captivity, according to Paul in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. Now, consider that one. Taking our thoughts into captivity and making ourselves obedient unto Christ. And when the devil tries to call you with reminders of past mistakes, hang up on him. Y'all, have y'all been getting all these spam calls lately? All these people who want to talk to you about, I mean anything and everything. I mean, I guess they think I'm ready for the grave right now. They keep calling about final expenses. And I finally asked the lady, you know, they put you on this recording. It waits about 10 seconds before they answer. And so I waited, and they wanted to know if I was 65. And I said, "No, I'm 105. Click. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. You get all these spam calls from these people. And, you know, sometimes you just have to hang up. You don't want to listen to their spiel over and over and over again. But when the devil calls, we ought to be hanging up on him and inform him that he's been placed on your do not call list. And you will not be receiving any more of his attempts at communicating with you as an individual. I'm going to tell you, Satan will call you. He calls you in different ways. He uses other people as his instruments to accomplish his will. But there again, when Satan is calling, what you do is decline the call. You don't take it. And when you feel that you're going to have that urge to start thinking about that past again, shift your mind, go to a different paradigm, as we say, and start thinking about things that are high and holy and things that are important. And you really have to block his calls. You do. When Satan calls, and that's not what he looks like, but when he does call, then you just have to hang up. That brings me to the second point. Not only do you dwell on the past, which serves as an indicator that you're living with condemnation, you hadn't forgotten the past, you can't seem to forgive yourself. You ever heard people say that? "I just can't seem to forgive myself." You know what? I can forgive myself because I lean upon the grace of Almighty God. And I know that God's grace is going to cover my sin. And if you go back to that Roman passage in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ. Now, that's not the end of a sentence. If you'll notice, there is a comma there grammatically, and it says, no condemnation to them who are in Christ, comma, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. That's the other page, as Paul Harvey says, page 2. But you can forgive yourself. Because I'm going to tell you something. If God can forgive me, I can forgive me. And I know that there are times maybe when we feel, you know, we'd like to again go back and change our past. You know, Paul wanted to do that. When he wrote to Timothy, he referred to himself as the chiefest of sinners, present tense. Oh, he was doing all kinds of things, taking lives, murdering people in the name of a good conscience. That's what he says. And it was hard for him to forgive himself. But when you read 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. You don't have to live in condemnation. And remember that when you sin or miss the mark, confess that sin immediately as soon as you realize it. One of the big dangers of drawing away from God is when we do something that is wrong and we don't change it right then. It always gets worse. We have to receive forgiveness and cleansing from the Lord and then take it to the next step where we can really forgive ourselves. And God can help us do just that. Satan will take anything about which you've not forgiven yourself and beat it over your head with it. But if you forgive yourself, and I really believe this, if you can forgive yourself, you have neutered Satan. He has lost his power. He has no power. Number three. One of the things I think that serves as an indicator of the fact that perhaps, just perhaps, maybe we're living with condemnation is that you have a judgmental and a critical spirit. And I must admit that I have at times have a critical spirit. I'm not saying that's right, and I'm constantly changing and fighting that. You don't want that. You want to be the kind of person that God wants you to be, less judgmental, less critical of other people. In Matthew 7, but a lot of times you've heard people say, well, I don't care what people think about me. I don't care. I'll just speak my mind. You know what? Sometimes when you speak your mind, you get in trouble. We need to zip our lip, as the old saying goes, and watch what we say. For Matthew 7, verse 2, you will be judged by the same standard that you've used to judge other people. And the measurement you use on them will be used on you. Now, that's what God says, doesn't he? God's going to judge us. I mean, I want him to judge me on the side of grace. I don't know about the rest of you, but I want him to judge me on the side of grace and mercy. I need both. Mercy is not getting what I deserve. Grace is getting what I do not deserve either. God is such a wonderful, wonderful Lord. But some people create their own storms and then get mad when it rains. And we live with that condemnation instead of saying, you know what, why I became a Christian? I didn't want to live with it. And I reassure myself all the time why I'm a Christian. I don't want to live with condemnation. I want to walk as God wants me to walk. And I've realized also that what goes around comes around. If that's what you dwell on, you will never be able to find the fulfilling joy that God has promised to give unto us. What goes around does come around. Do good, and goodwill will follow you. For whatsoever a man sows, according to Galatians 6, he shall also reap. You reap what you sow in life. Paul said that by saying, you know, God is not mocked. Well, whatever you sow in life, whether it's seeds of kindness, seeds of love, or seeds of hatred or animosity, it will come back to you and many days hence. But criticizing and passing judgment on another person can help make us feel a bit superior, in which we feel we have the upper hand. No. At least I don't do that. You may think to yourself, but down deep inside, maybe it is true. And if you find yourself observing, judging, and criticizing the faults in people, look at our own lives. Look in the mirror. Look at people. Your wife, your husband, your political leaders. People, boy, they take it all the time, don't they? Or even pointing them out to others. The Word of God has some advice for you, and here it is. Stop it. Now, when you sow judgment, you will reap judgment, according to Matthew 7. And that leads to more condemnation. And it really is a vicious cycle that we go through. I don't like to be around judgmental people. I don't like to be around critical people. I want to be happy. And when I have to dwell on that kind of stuff, it makes me unhappy, does it you? It destroys every vestige of joy that I ought to feel. And other signs of a critical spirit fueled by condemnation, self-condemnation, include being highly critical of yourself. You don't have to be critical of yourself. You're not a nobody, you're a somebody. Needing constant affirmation from people around you. No, shouldn't need that. Craving compliments while feeling threatened if others are complimented above you. A lot of people feel that. Refuse to gossip or speak negatively about anyone. That's what the scripture says, Ephesians 4:29. Be cautious of what you share about others, knowing that love will cover a multitude of sin, 1 Peter 4:8, which means it doesn't highlight or gossip about the failings of other people. And when we begin to think that we're a little bit high and mighty and that we're a little bit closer to God than someone else, take a look in the mirror of God's Word once again. And walk in love by choosing to speak life and build others up with your words. Go your way to say something nice to or about someone. You'll find that you will walk away feeling better, and they will walk away feeling better as well. You know, a little girl this morning came up to me, one of my favorite little girls from the church, and gave me a little drawing that she had made. I'll boast here a little bit. It was Kinley. And she handed it to me and wanted, I'll read that. She said, no, read it. And I stood there and I opened it up and I read it, and it said, I love our church. Our church is awesome. And what makes it awesome is you, Preacher Dan. I was talking to Shelley and Dwight about it earlier, and Shelley said, yes, she leaned over during your sermon, and she said, how do you spell awesome? You know, it's amazing, isn't it? Sometimes what goes through the mind of young children, sometimes they have a greater handle on Christianity and what it's about than most anyone else. But then number four, last of all, yeah, sometimes people are so bottled up, you feel unworthy. You know what? I'm glad that I'm not going to go to heaven based upon my feelings. And it's all right for people to have feelings. We all do. But I'm glad that I don't have to depend, like these people say, oh, I feel I'm saved. I feel I'm saved. That doesn't mean anything. You can feel you're lost just like you can feel that you are saved. My going to heaven is based upon the merits of the blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord. It is not based upon how I feel or how I should feel. But it is based upon the relationship that I have with the Christ. Don't feel unworthy. Think about this one. Are the things that you are living for worth Christ dying for? But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Romans 5 and verse 8. And if you feel unworthy, it's time to get a revelation from the love God has for you. Remember, he loves you. For 1 John 4:16 says, we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. John said, I knew it, but now I know it even better. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be unto you. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14. And remember that God hasn't based his relationship with you on your worthiness in and of yourself. He knows where you've missed the way. He knows where you have fallen short without you ever telling him. But when he looks at you, that's not what he sees. You know what he sees? He sees the precious blood of Jesus covering you. Covering you. You don't have to struggle to prove yourself to him. As far as he is concerned, you're a proven success. Because you turn to him. And start reminding yourself of how much God loves you. You are worthy because Jesus died for you. And your job is to please the Lord with your life. That is our role here in this world. And when I was baptized into Christ, I understood exactly what I was doing, why I was doing it. I knew that I was a sinner, but that I could be saved by the grace of God. I didn't have to live with a horrid past. But I can live in anticipation of a great future and a home that's prepared for the faithful. You know, this afternoon, one of our dearly beloved sisters in Christ made the journey from this life to the next. Sister Patsy Bush passed away. She had developed pneumonia in both lungs. And I had the flu. Audrey and I both had the flu the last several days, since last Sunday night, actually. And they had asked that I come. I hated, but I said, you know what? It might just send her over the brink. If I have the flu and expose her with double pneumonia, it could just be a terrible, terrible thing. And they understood. I talked with them again this afternoon. Her service is pending at this time. But you know, for a child of God, hey, we don't have to live bottled up. We don't. We don't have to live with condemnation. Somebody tells you that you're worthless. What you need to do at that moment is say, Jesus, take over. Take over. Because God has the power to redirect our life. And you know, isn't it wonderful to know that the great God of heaven offers us an invitation to a better way of life? Not only here, but to a better life in heaven. We're going to sing a song of encouragement tonight, and Doug has selected that song. And if there be those here, we're not indicting anyone, but if there is anyone here who feels you have the need for prayer in your life about certain issues that may be going on, why wouldn't you take the step tonight to make any corrections that need to be made? Or perhaps if you're not a Christian, to take the step to be baptized and to be able to truthfully say there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Let us stand and let us sing.